awesome day. I'm so thankful that you have made space to hang out with us, whether you're watching us online or listening throughout the week. I want you to know you are called our EFAM, our extended family. Our family here at the Vine is saving a chair for you. We'd love to see you really, really soon. And we're thankful that you are spending time with us, because today we are wrapping up our series called Chasing Carrots. And what the reason we've been walking through this series is at the beginning of the year is because many of us are just like that little hamster on a wheel, aren't we? Running around like crazy, trying to chase a little carrot on a stick, hoping that it fulfills us, hoping that it satisfies us, and we're stuck in the endless pursuit of more. We want more friends, we want more stuff, we want more validation, we want to have more things. And what we can end up doing is we can spend our whole life on that wheel and waste it instead of being what Jesus died to give us to be, what we were created to be. So today we're going to continue and finish up this series called Chasing Carrots, and we're going to unpack this idea called follow back. Follow back. Now, for some of you, I can tell from my generation, they would have said, whoop, whoop, but it's all right. If you're listening online, you know who I'm talking about when you say follow back. That's too bad. A lot of folks learned about that last year at the Super Bowl. Big game, excuse me. However, somebody knows. They had it. So somebody knows follow back. But the reason that we're walking through this today is it's going to take a while to build up to where we're going. So I'm going to tell you this. You're welcome to get to Philippians 2 now. We're not going to get there right now. It's going to take a minute to build up. But that's where we're going to camp out today. But the reason that I know today how God has lined up events that have happened, how God has lined all of this up today, especially for this message, is we're going to talk about this thing called follow back. And what I mean by that is many times we'll do something and ask someone to follow us back, especially on social media, right? Like if you follow me, I'll follow you. So we follow each other back. Well, here's the average social media information here in the United States right now. The average Facebook user has 328 friends. Some of us are gauging whether we're above that average or not right now. The average Twitter account has 707 followers. Now, most of them are probably bots or fake, but they have 707 followers. The average Instagram account has 150 followers. And TikTok is a new platform that's just taken off, fairly new. It's been around for a while, but it is trending more than ever with 500 million views a month. So if you're not on TikTok, I'm not, but I probably need to step up my game and get there. It is one that is growing. The reason I'm sharing these stats with you is it blows my mind how much technology has tried to connect us, isn't it? We're more connected than ever before technologically, yet physically and relationally and personally, we're more disconnected than we've ever been in the entire existence probably of the earth. We are so disconnected. As a matter of fact, even though the stats show in social media how many people have followers in their life, what's scary to me and heartbreaking is in 2018, they did a survey, the average American has two close friends. Now you're measuring yourself with that right now. What broke my heart is 25% of them said they had no close friends. But wait, you have 328 friends on Facebook, don't you? There's 707 people just waiting to reply to your tweet, waiting to retweet it, waiting to go into the fire. There's 150 people that like the filter you have on Instagram. Like, they have all of these things. Like, what do you mean we have no friends? And in this world that we live in, that's what breaks my heart, because we're trying to find friendships and relationships and they're superficial. They fall apart easily. And Jesus didn't connect us with people and surround us with people so that way we would have superficial relationships. Because if we're completely honest, there's something inside of us that wants to be liked and wants to be accepted, isn't there? We talked about that last week, how we'll even put a veil on over our weakness so that people will accept us. We like to have friends, but the thing is, what ends up happening is when you look at that and you look at your relationships, when the stuff hits the fan, who's there with you? It breaks my heart that a quarter of Americans have no one. Yet every week at church, we're begging people to come to church. The one place where folks can find hope, the one place where folks can find real relationships. I wonder if that has any effect on those 25% that have no one. I wonder if they're even close to it. And I want to tell you, that's what I love, is that in the church, we can have great relationships. It started making me think about this thing called follow back. I started thinking superheroes. How many folks like superheroes? How many remember superheroes growing up, right? Even Renault, I saw a hand raise. Superheroes. We all love superheroes, but even superheroes, remember? This is what made the villain famous against the superhero. There was always one or two people that knew the secret, right? There was always someone close that knew who they really, really were. Yet a quarter of Americans don't have that. So for each and every one of us today, what we're going to be talking about is finding these great friendships, because now they're harder to find more than ever, aren't they? And I will tell you why. And I'm going to put my cards on the table here. This is why it's going to take a minute to build up to it. When it comes to relationships and friendships, I'm going to tell you why they're hard. Are you ready? Because people are involved. And man, they're messy, aren't they? I'm the messiest one. I'm going to tell you right now. Like, when people are involved in anything, it's messy. So it's really easy to be someone's Facebook friend or be someone's Twitter follower and give that quick little comment. And what is it, 180, is it 360 or less? I can't remember, 280 or less, whatever it is on Twitter now. Or give that thing on Facebook or that like on Instagram that it is to really go through it with someone. And so for me, I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I've struggled with relationships in life. I'm going to tell you, it's hard. Friendships, it's hard. Now, I could give you every excuse in the world about the dysfunction I grew up in or the dysfunction we had, but I came to a space in my life where I realized we all grew up dysfunctionally in some type of dysfunction, didn't we? All of us. None of us had the Cinderella fairy tale life that we grew up in. And there was a moment in my life when I said, I can either be excusing myself in the dysfunction or I can be the change that I want to see around me. I can be the person that I want to be friends with me. And so there came a point in my life where I asked God, show me why I'm struggling with this. Because I'm still not perfect. I'm not where I need to be in it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm certainly not where I used to be by God's grace. But relationships were always hard. And for me, I'm fairly analytical. I'm a person, A plus B equals C, that kind of thing. And so I asked God what was going on, and he showed me I didn't understand the function of relationships, and that was the problem. And I was like, the function of relationships, what do you mean? And it made me laugh. How many of us remember running with scissors as a child and how that freaked our parents out, right? As a child, we didn't know. We just saw it had a handle that our little hands fit perfectly in, right? We didn't think about the sharp edges. We just knew we got attention because everyone freaked out when we got it. So, you know, hey, if you like attention, you just ran around with the scissors. But the thing that we didn't understand as a child was the function of the scissors was to what? Cut things, right? And if we don't understand the function of something, what ends up happening is we break the thing that we hold dear, or we end up getting hurt. And for me, that was relationships. I didn't understand the function. And let me tell you what I mean by that and the function of relationships. What ended up happening for me is I tried to give someone something that God didn't create me to give it to them, and he didn't create them to receive. Or I tried to receive something from them that God didn't create them to give me, and I wasn't created to receive. So what happened is the relationship became broken because I didn't understand the function of the relationship that I was in. And if I'm completely honest, I believe many of us are probably here today in dysfunctional, broken relationships because we can't understand the function of it. And so today, I looked at this and I was like, that's just good intention with bad results, isn't it? Like, my intentions were good. Like, from the great theologian Travis Tritt, I had the best of intentions, right? Like, from the start, I had the best, but it had a bad result because I didn't understand the function and the other person didn't understand the function. And I heard someone say it to me this way: it's a time for another talk. We can hang out and dive into this deeper. But the function of relationships, Jesus places people in our life for reasons, seasons, or for life. He puts them in our life for a specific reason and they go away. He puts them in our life for a specific season and they go away. Or he puts them in our life for a lifetime of ups and downs through every season. The thing is, if we mess up the function of the relationship and somebody that was only in our life for a reason and think they're supposed to be with us for life, that's why the divorce rate's through the roof in America. That's why we can't control our relationships. Now, today I'm not going to talk to you about the marriage relationship. As a matter of fact, I'm excited. In 2 weeks, on February the 9th, we're going to kick off our brand new series called Relationship Goals. It's going to be fun, y'all. Can't wait. We're going to have that. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. That's going to be specifically a series built on marriage. But today, this relationship in regards to friendships, because let's be real, if you're married, you're supposed to be friends with your spouse, right? So this does talk about that. If you're not, then maybe we can figure that out today and nail that down and say, you should be friends with your spouse. But that's what I want us to talk about today is why in the world are we in dysfunctional relationships, and why? What is the function of our relationship with our friends? How can we find real friendship? How can we not be superficial? And that's understanding the function of each and every relationship, because I believe that Satan today would love us to stay in dysfunctional relationships. I'm going to tell you why. Because if we stay in it, we can't be all God created us to be, and the person on the other side can't be all God created them to be, period. And so Satan loves that. And so many times when we get there, the reason is sometimes we'll stay in relationships longer than we should, and it may not be because we're supposed to. For me, I see so many times in my life, I look at back at my life and I look at the dysfunction of relationship, and God was like, I don't know why, but I'm just going to, this is my brain rolling out there. Remember, I'm thinking Schoolhouse Rock and Conjunction Junction, completely different thing. But every time I hear dysfunction, I don't know why. But when he looked at me and he talked about the function of relationships being wrong and living in that dysfunction, what he was teaching me was this. So many times when I'm uncomfortable and God's trying to grow me and he's trying to help me take a next step and he's trying to take me the next step of faith into being all he created me to be, I'll get mad at the devil because I'm uncomfortable. What I mean by that is sometimes for our dysfunction, we give the devil credit for making us uncomfortable, and he wants nothing more than to make you comfortable. I'm going to tell you why. Here's why he likes us to be comfortable for each and every one of us. The devil wants us to stay comfortable because if we're comfortable, are we growing? This is why it comes to relationships. Whenever you're on that diet, you have something you go to. It's called a comfort what? Food. A comfort food. Now, let me tell you, does that make your diet functional? No, it's dysfunctioning at that point. In other words, the purpose has been defeated of the diet because Reese cups were on sale, right? Like, yeah, I mean, they're 5 for $1. You can't beat it, right? Like, you have to. If I don't buy them now, Lord, it's not. Well, I've already bought them, so you might as well eat them. I'm going to start my diet next week. Like, right? Like, I'm going to start back next week strong. Like, the dysfunction thing that happens with the comfort foods in our life is that. And this is what I want to tell you about comfort, and so you can see that. Some of us have comfort friends, don't we? They only tell us what they want to hear, what they think we want to hear, and they're after their own agenda, not for you to be all God created you to be and them to be all God created them to be. And the devil would want nothing more than that comfort friend, like a comfort food, to be snuggled up real close with you and hold you back from being there. Now, hear me out. I'm not telling you to dump your friends today. I'm not telling you should go and purge your social media and do all that. I don't believe in that. I believe that God brings people in our life for a reason, season, or life. And each relationship has a function. What I want us to get today is understanding the function of each relationship that God's placed in our life. So many times when I think about the dysfunction, not just comfort food, it started making me think about relationships. And I'll tell you, not only comfort food and how we get comfortable in our dysfunction, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Sundays, whatever, Mondays, it is what it is. But whatever it is with your comfort food that you go to, it made me think about how the brokenness of relationships happens. So you may stand here today and tell me, I don't struggle with relationships, I don't feel bad. So I'm going to tell you, if anybody ever tells you in your life that dysfunction isn't something you're comfortable in, dysfunction really is sin, y'all. That's what it is. And to be honest with you, sometimes to sin, it makes you feel good, but it leaves consequences that are deadly and bad. And if you want to feel good about a broken relationship, criticize somebody today. Oh, in the moment, don't it feel so good? Don't lie. I'm getting real. I can tell because the pen's dropping right now. But don't it just feel so good? That fool's driving too fast. I went with an easy one. I went with an easy one, y'all. I went with an easy one now. They just passed me on the wrong side. I'm on the right-hand lane. They shouldn't be passing. Blah, 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 blah. We can criticize somebody, and it feels so good in the moment. And the reason is if I can judge your dysfunction for 5 minutes, I can make an excuse for me to stay in mine. And if you get nothing else out of today, today is the day Jesus wants us to step out of dysfunction and step into who he created us to be and not stay in comfort, because he didn't die so that we could have a comfortable life. He died to give us his comfort to share with the rest of the world. It was never meant for us to be hoarded, because comfort in the wrong place is dysfunctional. Comfort food, comfort friends. So today, that's where I'm getting back for all of us. And I want us to talk about friendships, and I want us to talk about relationships, because in our life, that comfort friend may just be serving the wrong function. And I'm telling you, it's going to lead to heartache. You're going to disappoint them, you're going to disappoint yourself, and you're just going to be mad at each other, and you're never going to reconcile. And Jesus didn't come for relationships to be broken. He came to restore them, didn't he? We can agree that he did. So for each and every one of us, I want you to ask this about your relationship. Is the function of my relationship propelling me to be who I'm created to be in Christ and who they're created to be in Christ? Whether it's for a season, for a reason, or for life, is it propelling us to be all Christ created us to be? Hear me out. You can have a non-Christian friend who's propelling you to be all God created you to be. You can. This doesn't mean that you should only be friends with Christians. You should have a mix of friends. And the reason you'll see here in a minute is because of that, you can point them to Jesus. So today, we're going to talk about some qualities of a good friend, but I want to point one more thing out. We're going to take a pop quiz here. You didn't know you was going to have a quiz in church. I know. But it's going to be 100% participation. So before we dive in the Word, if you're taking notes, I want you to think about this. I want to ask you three questions about three people, and you're going to see why friendship and relationships matter and how when they're functioning properly, you're going to remember them and how they impact your life. All right, here we go. Here are the first three questions. Name the last three Academy Award winners for Best Male Actor and Best Female Actor. The last three. You can choose one or the other. I don't care. The silence is astounding. I don't know either. The next one. Okay, you might do better with this one. Name the last three World Cup soccer champions. Somebody may know that one. That's okay. All right. Here we go. Now, there's two parts to this test. This is just the precursor. This is like writing your name, so don't worry if you do bad. Who were the last three Mega Millions lottery winners? What were their names? We don't know, right? So how many folks are at 100% so far? You got 100? Yeah, well, I'm just kidding. So no one's at 100%, but I know you're going to have 100% on the next one. That was just a test run. Here's the real test. All right, I want you to name, write this down. You don't have to do it out loud, but name three teachers or coaches who influenced you the most when you were in school. But those names came like that, didn't they? All right, so we're 100%. Let's go to the next one. Who are three people that helped you when you thought you were in your worst place, even if it was more than once in life? Came pretty quick, didn't it? All right, here's the last one. Who are three heroes who inspire you to be who you were created to be? This probably came pretty quick, didn't they? You want to know the difference? Functional relationships versus dysfunctional relationships. I had no relationship with a lottery winner, a World Cup soccer champion, and an Academy Award winner, but if I place their relationship that they play on screen or the sport that they play or the bank account that they have as the function of my relationship, I will be broken and hurt, and so will they. But the people that made the most impact on my life are the people that I understood the function of the relationship I was in. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about when it comes to friendships. And I want us to talk about relationships because we're going to learn three qualities of a good friend. Now, the thing is, I don't want us to walk out these doors and say, man, I hope I find that friend when I get out here. I know God's just going to make them see me in the parking lot and they're just going to be attracted to me. No, I believe today when we see these three qualities, we can go out and be that friend. And when we do that, we're going to see Jesus move like never before. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to spend most of our time in Philippians 2, and then we're going to hang out in John 15, because you know, we got to have John 15 as we roll. So if you want to go ahead and get to Philippians 2, if you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking. We'd love to give you one at the Garden, or what I love that our Vine production team does every week. You'll see it on the screen, or if you're watching online, you'll see it conveniently placed right below me every week, the scripture we can follow along with. But last but not least, we partner with a Bible app every week, and I'd love to show you how you can follow along with us on the Bible app. You want to download the Bible app from the App Store. Once you do that, you want to open it up. Once you open it up, you're going to click on the More tab. Once you do that, make sure you click on Events and your location services are on. You're going to see the Vine TV worship experience and follow back. And then once you open that up, you're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through, a place where you can take notes, but more importantly, a place where you can connect with us if there's any way that we could serve you throughout the week. Now, are we ready? Are we going to have a good day today? I'm seeing some smiles. We're good. I'm telling you, we're going to step out some dysfunction today. I promise you. I promise you. And we'll call it Dysfunction Junction, like Schoolhouse Rock, instead of Conjunction Junction. So we'll do that. So if you got your Bible today, let's start in Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 19. Now, just to build up really quick, we talked about the church in Philippi when we talked about wealthy and chasing carrots, and we were talking in Philippians 4, and we learned a little bit about that. I would encourage you to go listen to that if you want to learn a little bit about Philippi and the church in Philippi. However, today I just want to give you a quick overview. Paul is in prison when he writes this letter, okay? When he's writing this letter, he's thanking the Philippian church for their partnership in ministry. He's reminding them about humility and service and how we are called to love others around us. But he's also thanking them for the large gift that they sent him while he was in prison in Rome. And so that's kind of where we are in this whole letter, is what Paul is talking to about the church in Philippi. So Philippians 2 verse 19 is where we're going to pick up, but that's just a quick overview of the Philippian book of Philippians. A great book, by the way. Starts in verse 19 and it says this. Paul says this. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So if you're taking notes today, we're going to walk through these verses a little bit, and we're going to learn three qualities of a great friend today. Number one quality of a great friend we can learn from this is reliable. This isn't going to be groundbreaking at all, I'm telling you. It's something that we all know, but reliable. Verse 19, Paul says it this way: I hope the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. So reliable. So let me tell you about Timothy that you may not know. So Timothy is like Paul's protege. So Paul met Timothy when he was on his first missionary journey to Asia Minor. So this is how we learned about the reliability of Timothy and how he was a reliable friend. He was on the first missionary journey to Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey, and he went to this place called Derbe and Lystra. Now, it's the same one, if you remember, where Paul got stoned and thrown outside of the city gate, but yet stood up and continued on with the gospel. They thought they killed him, but they haven't. Great story, by the way. Read that sometime. But he meets him in Lystra and Derbe, continues on, and Timothy is one of the first converts to Christ for Paul on his missionary journey. So Paul meets him there, and he starts following Paul. Now Timothy is the son of a Jewish mother and an unbelieving father, which is even crazier. So he knew the law from his mother, but he was considered a Gentile because they were mixed in marriage, right? And so he continued to follow Paul and learn from Paul, and Paul was the voice to the Gentiles for Jesus to bring the gospel to the end of the world. Really cool. So Timothy continues to be Paul's protege, and he follows Paul. So much so, Paul mentions Timothy somewhere like 24 times in all of his letters. So Timothy, this isn't going to be his first journey to Philippi. Now, if you remember when we talked about wealthy, Philippi is 800 miles from Rome. So if you're going to send somebody somewhere 800 miles away at that time, they better be someone who's reliable. Well, Paul learned of Timothy's reliability because Timothy was with Paul. He sent him to Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians. He goes to Corinth in 1 Corinthians. And he's in Macedonia with Paul in Acts 20. So Timothy has been with Paul, and he's been reliable all the way through, and he knows he can trust him. When I think about reliability, I think of trust. How about you? Like, that's somebody I can trust. When I go to somebody at my darkest time, is someone that I can trust. If I'm a superhero, I don't pull the mask off to anybody I don't trust, right? Like, I don't want to go out there and just show myself to everyone. I have to understand the function of a relationship. Sometimes the function of a relationship, for a reason, you don't need to bear all of your scars. But for a season, you may need to bear some of your scars. If someone's functioning in your life for a lifetime, you want to show all of your scars. You want to show them exactly who you are. And this is what I'm getting at with reliability. For us, who's that person you call from the jail cell at 3 o'clock in the morning that's going to pick up the phone? That's the reliable friend in your life. The person that you're going to call and say, I'm on my way to the hospital. I'm on my way to the hospital right now. You don't have to meet me there, but would you pray with me? That's the reliable friend. And that's what we get to be, church, when we meet people right where they are in the middle of this crazy dysfunctional season of life that they're walking in. That's what we get to be a part of. And that's what Timothy is with Paul. Up and down, Timothy is there step by step. Timothy is the one, believe it or not, Paul's final letter he wrote was 2 Timothy. And remember, the pen stops hitting the page. And the one who spread the church to the ends of the known world at that time passed away. He wrote the letter to Timothy. Timothy was like Paul's son. Timothy was his protege. He was the one he was raising up to continue the gospel to be spread to the ends of the earth. And the reliable friend is someone you can trust. So for each and every one of us, who is that person? Are we that person? Because the thing I want to tell you that Timothy's living out is the faithfulness he showed with Paul led to more fruitfulness, led to seeing more of the gospel going around throughout the ends of the earth. And church, that's where we can get stuck. We can think God should bless us right away and give us fruit right away when we have not been faithful in our functioning relationship with him and shown to be reliable and trustworthy. But remember, throughout all the Bible, one of my favorite stories is the parable of the talents. What is it that he said to him? You have been given much. You have been given this and you've stewarded it well. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I will now make you in charge of many things because you were faithful in little. Now I will make you faithful in much. That reliable friend is someone that you can bear the scars of. If your spouse is with you, that should be a reliable person in your life, I would hope. And if not, let's get you there. Let's figure out what that is. If you're not married, you should have friends in your life that are reliable, that will be with you in the darkest of dark and the darkness of night. The person that you can say this to, this is that person if you're trying to figure out who it is. They're the ones who know everything about you. They're not going to abandon you. They're not the person that you say, oh gosh, if they knew that about me, oh man. If they knew that about me, they wouldn't be my friend. That's probably not a reliable friend. But at the same time, I want to say this. There could be a relationship that grows someone into a reliable friend. So I want you to know, if you're looking for the first quality of a friend, look at Timothy. He's showing you that you can be reliable. The second thing I want to share with you is compatible. Now, I'm not talking match.com here, so don't get excited. But compatible. Compatible. The second quality of a good friend is someone who is compatible. Socrates said this. If you ever studied sociology or you get into philosophy at all, but Socrates sat back and he studied people. We call it sociology today. And he studied people and he wrote about this. He said, it's crazy. People from all different backgrounds, when they have a common cause, they will unite together and go do it together. They're compatible. They fit together. Now, if you have a spouse, you should be compatible. Absolutely. It doesn't mean you're exactly the same. It may mean that you're different in some ways. But what it means is you're united around a common cause. I'm going to show you something that's really crazy here in the scripture in a minute with that. But compatible. Compatible. Doesn't mean that Christians should only be friends with Christians. I can talk football with anybody. Whether they know Jesus or not, I can talk that with anybody. I can talk NASCAR with anybody. Praise Jesus and amen. Cranking back up in a week or two. So I'm just saying, I can talk with anybody, and that's adorable. I can talk real estate with anybody, whether they are in Christ or not, but it opens the door so that we have a common cause together, and Jesus works through that. So let's look and see where Timothy and Paul did that. It says in verse 20, I have no one else like him. That's Paul talking about Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not that of Jesus Christ. Now, before I go to this next thing, it's a Greek word. I'm going to show it up. I want you to see, it's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read this to you. When I look at the book of Philippians, if you ever do a study of it, I want you to look and see whether you're living a Philippians 2:21 life that says, look here, it says, are you looking out for your own interest? Philippians 2:21, not those of Jesus Christ. Are you living your Philippians 1:21 life? Just a reminder, what that one says for you, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You're living one of the two. You're either living the 1:21 life or you're living the 2:21 life. So guess what? All of us get to be 21 all the time. We're either 2:21 or 1:21. Either we're living for Christ or we're living for ourselves. And if we're living for ourselves, we're going to stay in dysfunction. But if we're living for Christ, we're going to live in functioning relationships and functioning to be all that Jesus created us to be. And so what I want to show you right now for that compatibility is this Greek word. It's going to pop up here, and you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. But I'm going to say it, and then we're going to say it together. Isopsukos, 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 isopsukos. One, two, three. We're going to say it out loud, all right? Esopsuchus. One, two, three. Esopsuchus. Esopsuchus. You learned some Greek today. Aren't you happy? Let me tell you something. This shows up in the Bible one time. Esopsuchus. It shows up in Philippians 2:20. Esopsuchus. Esopsuchus. Take that to your Super Bowl trivia. Esopsuchus. Let me tell you what it means. It means to be like-minded or of one soul. Now see, there's only two instances where we see people have that one soul mindset. Well, really three. When we talk about marriage, we're supposed to have one soul. But the friendship that's outside of marriage that had one soul was David and Jonathan. If you remember, it says their souls were knit together in their friendship. They were united around a cause of David being the king, not Jonathan. They were united around that cause. And so Esopsuchus is there, and it's only mentioned one time. And literally when I look for each of us, if nothing else, our common goal is the Great Commission. Red, yellow, black, white, the gospel doesn't discriminate. We talked about that this morning in our Bible, Devo. I was happy that we saw that. But the gospel doesn't discriminate, neither should we. And what I mean by that is the Great Commission should be what we're always living out. Going to the ends of the earth, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We should be doing that, teaching them what Jesus has commanded us, a common cause with Jesus at the center. What Paul is saying about Timothy is Timothy doesn't say, what about me in Philippians 2:21. He's saying Timothy is a Philippians 1:21, and he asked the question, his first question, what about them? Will they be reached? Will they be taken care of? He doesn't live a life about him. Now, we talked about this last week when I talk about Esopsuchus. It's really easy in church life to speak Christianese, right? We talked about that with our weaknesses last week. What I mean by that is it's really easy to come to church and say, read my Bible this week, check. Prayed this week, check. Smiled and waved, check. And then the Christian answer was, how was your week? What was it? Great. That's the check. That's the Christian answer, right? That's the Christianese life that we live in. As a matter of fact, you can even be a person taking notes in church and speak Christianese, and everybody's just like, man, look at their faith. But if you don't take action, you don't have a common cause, and you're not being all God created you to be. You're choosing to stay in dysfunction because you're comfortable. And that's all that Satan wants you to do is stay comfortable. Stay comfortable. And so if we're going and rallying around Esopsuchus as people, what we need to see is this. And this is what I saw when I was talking about church people and what scares me when I see 25% of Americans don't have a close friend. You know, when I read the Bible, the demons knew Jesus more than the church people. When Jesus cast out demons, they said, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. What are you doing here? The church people took notes and got mad because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. How many people is Jesus placing in our lives that we can show Esopsuchus to? We can rally around the cause and say, hey, I'm dysfunctional. I don't have it all together, but because of Christ Jesus, I can function and be all that I was created to be, and so can you. Esopsuchus. So many times we don't like that, because to get uncomfortable means we have to be confronted. And this is when I know the Spirit's moving, is when it gets real quiet. Trust me, I do the same thing in my quiet times. He does that with me. I'm just like, really, Jesus? I'll turn up my music and he'll shut it off or something. Like, when it gets really quiet, you feel confrontation. I'm not here to condemn you at all, because I don't have it all together. And remember, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved through him. But he did come to confront the system of dysfunction that is sin in our life that leads to death. And he came to place us in a space where we can function to be all we were created to be. And so today, when I talk about Esopsuchus, maybe you're getting confronted right now to say, hey, maybe my friends aren't around a common cause. Maybe we don't have a common cause. Maybe I'm not seeing the function of this relationship, and I'm going to tell you who will give it to you. Not me, not the person sitting next to you in church, but the Holy Spirit will, if you're in Christ Jesus, will tell you exactly the function of every relationship you're supposed to have. It'll tell you if they're a reason, a season, or a lifer, and it will help you be all you were created to be while they're becoming all they were created to be. But the enemy will let us stay in dysfunction. So for each and every one of us, where are we at with that? Are we trying to live a relationship of 2:21 with us at the center? Or are we trying to live a relationship with Jesus at the center? Because in Paul's time, this is so unheard of in church, isn't it? In Paul's time, there were preachers that were preaching the gospel for their own benefit. Like to get jets, cars, planes, trains, camels, whatever else they had their own agenda, not the agenda of the gospel. That would never happen in church today, would it? Seriously, we know it does, right? That hasn't changed. And it's because they don't understand esopsychos, one common goal, one common thing. See, Jesus prayed for our unity. It was John 17 as he's going to the cross? He prayed for us to be unified, esopsychos, in a cause. So we have to see in our relationships, for us to be unified, we have to have our relationships functioning properly. Third thing I want to tell you about, and you can see through Timothy's friendship with Paul and quality of a friend, is loyal. Loyal. He's absolutely loyal to Paul. I talked to you about the missionary journeys he's on. I talked to you about it's 24 times, maybe 25, but I think it's 24 times that Paul's writing about Timothy in all of his letters. And Paul, with his dying breath, wrote 2 Timothy. It's the last letter he ever wrote. He wrote to Timothy. He wrote to his friends. Now, think about this. Paul is in Rome, and we know at least 26 Christians are with him in jail. But more than likely, there are hundreds of converts that are there with Paul when he is in jail that he could have sent to Philippi instead of sending his best friend. But instead, Timothy was reliable. Timothy was compatible. He had eyes to see things the way Paul saw things, but he was loyal. Look what it says right here in verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because a son with his father, now remember, is an unbeliever, has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy is loyal. Timothy was a new baby Christian, and he served side by side with Paul. Church, we call this discipleship. And the thing that's missing more than ever is discipleship. So many times what will happen is we will give a baby Christian a platform to stand on. And just to gain fame, to gain renown, and we're not listening to Jesus. Does it mean that baby Christians can't talk? Absolutely they can. We got to trust Jesus in that. But when we put people on a platform to grow ourselves instead of them being all they were created to be, we wonder why they fail so quick and the world says, aha, there's another fake one. I knew it was fake from the beginning, and we wonder why people don't want to be Christian. We wonder why people don't want to come to church, and it's because that person who was a baby Christian was that seed that fell on the rock and sprang up real quickly, and it died just as quickly as it sprang up because it had what? No roots. It had no loyalty. It had no discipleship. If you remember growing up when you were in school about trees, a branch of a tree never grows longer than its roots. Now, do we remember why? Because it topples if the branch is taller than the roots, because the roots are either too shallow or not deep enough. So the branch actually, the roots should grow as far out as the branch. So for each and every one of us, what this means for a loyal friend is someone who's there through thick and thin, someone who is there that we've grown roots with, we've intertwined with, someone who's loyal, who is there in the ups and downs. That's what Timothy was with Paul. He had roots. He was discipled. He was being all that he was, that God created him to be. And trust me, I bet Paul challenged him. I bet Paul called him out. Just read some of the letters. Paul challenged him, and I bet Timothy could challenge Paul in some instances and say, hey, are you ever going to be friends with Barnabas again? Are you ever going to be friends with John Mark? Read that last letter and see who Paul says was a friend in ministry and who helped him most in his ministry before that little split happened. Read about that. You see, loyalty matters. And if you know anything about me, I will tell you that's probably one of the things people say about I'm probably loyal to a fault. And I'm not tooting my horn. I'm saying sometimes that's a bad thing. Because if that person's only meant to be in my life just for a reason and I'm loyal to them for life, then we're in dysfunctionality. That's not a good thing. So when we're trying to be a good friend, let's figure out loyalty and say we can be with people wherever they are. And what I mean by that is so many times, sometimes in our relationship, don't we have to have a testing before we get together and team up together? Like people, what is it? They have shows now. What is it, like 90 Day Fiancé or I Just Met You Fiancé or I just Skyped you, fiance. I don't know what they call it. But whatever it is, like, there's no testing, and they wonder why the relationship. I mean, people love watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I'm not judging you if you do. I just don't have time to watch it. People love that because they want to believe that love is there. But there's no testing in that moment. So there's no loyalty. There's no roots being grown. And so when we look at our friendships, we want to have people who are reliable. We want to be people who are reliable. We want to be people who are compatible. We want to be people who are loyal, because when we have each other's back, we grow roots, don't we? Then all of a sudden, we're stronger together than we ever were apart. You see, as we get ready to close this out, and we're going to have a few minutes before we do, I look back and I said, man, when it comes about friendship, so many times in our life, I wonder how we look at friendship. As a matter of fact, if I really want the best display of friendship, Timothy has some great qualities, and it's something that I would strive to be, and I would hope that Jesus would grow me to be a reliable person, to be a person that's compatible, that you can talk to about things, to be a person who is loyal, who meets you and will be able to walk with you for season after season if it's what he's called in a functioning relationship. But Jesus said it this way in John 15, and starting in verse 13, Jesus just said, hey, he tells people in verse 12, love others as I have loved you. In verse 13, it picks up and he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. For one's friends. Now he goes on to say, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now remember the Great Commission, we'll go you therefore into all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, but teaching them all I have commanded you. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He goes on in verse 17 to say, love each other is the command he gives us. If we really want to be a great friend, we got to be willing to meet people in love right where they are, because that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus stepped out of the comfortable place of heaven into our dysfunction so that we could step out of the dysfunction of sin in our life that only leads to death, so that we could function being all that he created us to be. Dysfunction is that hamster on a wheel in the endless pursuit of more, time and time again, getting mad at God, getting mad at people, because we just can't seem to get that carrot on a stick, and we're in constant dysfunction, in a cycle of dysfunction, 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 dysfunction. And Jesus said that there's a better way, because that dysfunction eventually is going to lead to death for that poor little hamster, isn't it? Because he ain't going to eat. He just wants something to eat. He just wants that carrot. And Jesus said, listen, I'm going to give you something to eat. I'm going to be the bread of life, and I'm going to give you the living water. And through me, you're going to have everlasting life, and you're going to be exactly who you were created to be. And you don't have to wait till heaven to experience it. You can experience it now. But the thing is, you don't have to check any boxes to receive it. You don't have to memorize any prayers to receive it. You don't have to go through a 12-step program to receive it. You just literally have to have faith that I am who I say I am. And there's no greater friend you could ever have in your life than Jesus Christ, is there? None. You see, because here's the thing where some of us may be struggling. I know most of the folks that are here today by God's grace, but maybe you're listening online, and I don't think it's any coincidence that you're listening now or throughout the week. You see, there are two types of people when it comes to being a friend of Jesus. You're either a friend of Jesus or a foe of Jesus. A friend of Jesus has received him and believes he is who he says he is, so that they can be all that he created them to be. They have received the free gift of salvation by faith, and they've received God's grace to step out of the dysfunction that is sin, to live a life that is functional, that is joy in all seasons, peace in all seasons. That doesn't make sense to the world, because the world doesn't understand it. Someone who is a friend of Jesus has the love that only he can give, and can share that love with the world. But someone who is a foe with Jesus is someone who hasn't received Jesus. What I mean by that is, a foe of Jesus is someone who can't be blessed by Jesus with peace, love, joy, loving kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. They can't. They can't be blessed by that. So they continue on this hamster wheel time and time again in dysfunction, and can't understand why their life is unfulfilled. And I'm going to tell you, the missing ingredients is Jesus. It's Jesus. He laid down his life for us, and because of that, our life was saved. Romans 5:8 reminds us of it this way, but God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So today, if for the first time you're realizing that you're not a friend of Jesus, but a foe of Jesus, maybe the friend that you're looking for is not the friend that's sitting beside you today, or the friend you're meeting at the coffee shop, or the friend you're meeting at work, or the friend you're meeting for lunch. The friend that you need to meet today is Jesus Christ. Because there is no greater love. Because there is nothing that can separate you from your dysfunction like only He can. And so right now, we're going to do what we do each and every week. If that's you today, we're all going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And it's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It is the faith that Jesus is who He says He is and can help you step out of your dysfunction into functioning to be all that He created you to be. And we pray out loud as a family here for the benefit of those who are receiving by faith Jesus today. So I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe You came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to respond. If for the first time you can say that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer a foe of Jesus, but are now a friend of Him. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, would you raise your hand today? If you're watching online, you're going to see a hand that's raised. Would you click that hand? If you're listening throughout the week, you're going to be able to reach out to us. If you'll let us know at prayer@thevine.tv or reach out to us at 864-580-6698. We have a team that would love to celebrate your friendship with Christ and be friends with you in this season and help you take your next step. If that's you today, would you respond? And for everyone else, you can lift up your head, and we're about to sing this song in worship, and we're going to be talking about this love that Jesus gave. And maybe today Jesus is come at you, and today, hey, if you feel conviction, it's the Holy Spirit. I have nothing to do with it. If you got anything good out of the day, it's all Jesus. If it was anything rough, like Conjunction Junction, it was all me. So I just want you to know if that's it. But I will tell you, I struggled with relationships because I didn't understand the function. And I understood that there was a moment that I didn't understand the function of a Savior. So I was able to give my life to Jesus. And then from that, I was able to understand the function of relationships around me. So maybe today you've given your life to Jesus and you're being convicted about, hey, what's the function of the relationship I have? Am I in it for a reason, for a season, or for life? And as we sing about this, I'm just going to ask you to be reminded of the relationship that will never change, the love that will never change, the one that will cast away the dark, the one that will be there no matter what, and this, the love of Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing about no other love here, and I'm just going to ask you to lay it down. If you're watching online, maybe you need to pray with someone. We would love to pray with you. Reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or shoot us a text or phone call at 864-580-6698. We would love to pray with you today. Let us know. So we're about to sing this song of worship. I'm going to ask you to stand with us and let's be reminded of the love of Jesus Christ.
Be my joy in the morning.
All right, all right. How great is it that God has taken our dysfunction and makes us functional, right? If he can do it for me, trust me, he can do it for you too. So I'm so thankful today that we get to be here. And I just pray that today, really, that whatever the Spirit told us we go do, I would love for all of us, when someone looks back and says, who is the person who impacted my life the most? Wouldn't it just be great to be on that list? Because I know that each and every one of us live with Jesus being the person who's impacted us the most. And if we're on that list, I know we're pointing them to him. So we're going to do what we do every week. Let's lock it up and let's pray. And let's go have a great week. Going to pray as a family and pray this sickness away and get some hand sanitizer, whatever that looks like. All right, Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the family that we get to be. Thank you that you have come and taken what's broken and making it beautiful. You've taken what was dysfunctional. You've taken what is chaos, and you have brought order to it, and you have allowed us through you, Jesus, to function as you have created us to be. There is nothing else in this world that can do this. No fame, no money, no amount of friends list. We can trend. We can try to be wealthy. We can try to follow people back, and we can try to be verified by everything else but you. But Jesus, you're the only one that can make us who we were created to be. So I pray today that we would surrender to you everything that we have. And I pray that as we go out, that we would be the friend that we wish we had. I pray that we would be loyal. I pray that we would be reliable. I pray that we would be esopsukos. We would be compatible, and that we would point others to you, because that's what we're here for, to bring most to your name and bring it the most fame. For everyone who's sick, Jesus, we just really lift them up. I pray that you would do what only you can do in that, and you would heal them. But inside of that, Jesus, I pray that they would feel you close to them and whatever they're walking through. We love you, Lord. We can't believe you let us do this. Thank you for the friend that we have in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Remember to join us next week as we have Big Game Sunday. Wear your favorite team gear. We're going to have a great time. Have an awesome week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.